Welcome to the Discotech Podcast, where we review every episode of Discovery Season 3 as it airs. Today we have special guest Amber with us, who was invited to the digital premiere. What was the premiere like? Tell us about it.
Yeah. It was so awesome. I had so much fun. I wasn't even sure what to expect because, you know, it's a virtual premiere. Like, I was expecting to just kind of like, oh, here, watch it. Now go away. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know how they were going to do it, or if maybe it was like, here, watch this. And then here's some pre-recorded stuff we did with the actors, which is still cool. But no, they actually, like, we watched the first episode. That's the first thing we did. And then after that, they had like little breakout rooms that you could choose to go into. And like one of them was the cosplay catwalk. So they had, you know, all the people that submitted for the costume contest, they had like a little slideshow, and someone all dressed up as an Andorian, which I could never do because that's way too much make. I don't wear regular makeup, let alone all the blue.
That's a lot.
They were on point. They looked amazing. And they were, so they were the one like narrating it and saying, oh, this is so-and-so, he's dressed as da-da-da, you know. And then in the other room, they actually had like, they were talking to, like when I hopped into there, they were in the middle of talking to Mary Wiseman, and they were actually like responding to the chat, you know, like, so they, and the people were popping into the chat too. Like, we saw Alex Kurtzman in the chat. We saw Sonequa Martin-Green in the chat. Wilson was in there. Like, a whole bunch of people were showing up, and we were like, oh, then you'd see the chat go, everybody's like, oh my God.
That's so cool.
It was a lot of fun. We did that. And then after all that, they showed us the second episode, which we weren't expecting at all.
Wow.
It was just the first episode. And then we thought, oh, maybe we're just previewing this. And no, they showed us the entire second episode too. Wow. And during that, we still had the chat room open. So we were like chatting with each other while watching the second episode. It was a communal experience. It was really cool.
I miss awesome. Watching things with people like...
Yeah. Right. Yeah. With me, like, I've got my family, so we watch Lower Decks. That's the Trek show that, like, my daughter will actually get mad at me if I watch it before she gets to watch it. Like, she wants to watch it with me.
Oh, nice. Start 'em young. Start 'em right.
Yeah. Well, because she's 17 now, but I did start her young. With TNG, I would turn on, I think it was BBC, because they used to play a couple episodes of Next Gen.
My dad originally showed me Star Trek, but like not nearly to the amount that I currently watch Star Trek. And once I was saying something, he was like, wow, you really love Star Trek. And I was like, you did this. Like, you started this. Like, this is your fault.
My dad's who got me into Star Trek too. Yeah, for sure. I remember there was a point where we were arguing who knew more. And I remember we were in the kitchen and he was like, well, if you know more than me, then what's the name of the Klingon homeworld? And I was like, Kronos. And he was like, oh, I didn't know there was actually a name for it. You win. He was like trying to stump me. The student became the teacher. Next Gen is my show. You know, I know that show better than I know myself.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I've rewatched it so many times. So like, he there's no way he was going to stump me with Next Gen, but he's seen all the others. Like, as Discovery comes out, we'll text about it afterward and things like that.
That's
so he's
so
still
fun.
Very much into it. Yeah, it's great. My dad's awesome. I love my dad.
That's great. Did the cast share any stories about when they were recording, or did they have any anecdotes or anything?
From what I caught, mind you, I was in the cosplay room much of the time because I didn't even realize there were other rooms I could go to. That's why I like kind of came in halfway through Mary Wiseman's thing. But they mainly were just they talked a little bit about Grudge with the guy who plays Book. I can't remember his name. They David. Talked about the awesome cat, and everybody in the chat was talking about how hot he is. So
they're not wrong.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, they mainly were just like, you know, how was it? How was the experience type stuff? And, you know, it's the same like, oh, it's been great. We love each other and da da da, which is awesome. I love how they seem to really be a close group. this cast. It kind of reminds me of the Next Gen cast, how they're still friends decades and decades later. Yeah. You know, I can see these people being the same way, where their friends wail off into, you know, Discovery's in the rear view and they're still going to conventions and catching up and having breakfast together.
I wonder if sci-fi casts end up staying closer just because there are like convention circuits. So they end up like seeing each other so much more than like
they're kind of forced into like, it.
Right. What was the overall mood like when you were in the room with Mary Wiseman? Were they just like, were they, because at the pilot episode that we saw, of course, we didn't go to see the second one, was very happy. It felt really, it was very joyful. Like, it did, was that reflected in the interviews with the cast?
Yeah, everybody was just so happy and excited and like big smiles. And it, I mean, it's finally here, right? Yeah. You know, so they were celebrating. It was a very celebratory feel the whole night. Like everybody was enjoying it, even from down to like they had some DJ was playing music, you know, ahead of time, like as we counted down to watching the episode or whatever. That music was fire. I don't know what that was. I was actually begging in the chat for the playlist because it was so good. It was just like from start to finish, everybody was so happy and just big smiles. Like with Mary Wiseman, everybody was of course complimenting her awesome red hair and the big curls and asking her tips on hair care, you know.
Honestly relatable.
She has amazing hair.
That's exactly what I would ask Mary Wiseman.
Very true.
I was interested in asking you, what's your opinion about episode one?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was so fun. I was expecting a good episode. I was not expecting an amazing episode. Like that blew me away. Like after, so we've had the season finale of Lower Decks, which was super awesome. And now we go right into the season premiere of Discovery, which is super awesome. And it's just like, I'm still kind of reeling from all of it because it was that good.
Yeah.
It was fantastic to watch. Like I smiled, I laughed, I cried, you know, it had everything.
It really did.
I was talking with my brother on like when Lower Decks came out on Thursday, that Friday, like when I watched it and they had the panels of announcing everything. And I was like, I was just remembering that like the first 10 years that I was like a huge Star Trek fan, literally nothing new TV show wise was coming out. Aww. And I was like, how did we get here? Like,
it's been a long road.
Yes, we need that quote in every podcast. Thank you for bringing it in this week.
So good.
No, it's true though. Like, cause like I said, I started with Next Gen. I actually watched it as it aired. So, you know, best of both worlds was like the longest summer of my life. Right. But we had, you know, TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise, just boom, 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 boom. And then nothing. And when Enterprise ended, I had this deep, like, it's over. Aww. We're never getting that back. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is it. We're done. And especially as the years went on, you know, it became like, I just rewatch TNG all the time. And at least I still have these shows. You know, I do my TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise, TNG, you know, like occasionally throw TOS in there, throw them a bone. But but now we have like so much stuff because we've got Lower Decks, we've got Discovery, we've got Picard, we've got Strange New Worlds coming up. Section 31 is apparently still happening. I haven't heard much from it, you know, lately. Yeah. But like we've got and Prodigy now, where they just announced Janeway's gonna be on it. Like we've got so much stuff. Like I just today was at Virtual Trek Con. We're having like virtual cons now just to make up for the fact that we don't have cons, you know, and it's crazy in a very good way. I'm like, this is the new golden age for Star Trek, and I'm definitely so here for it.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on and telling us about the premiere and your experience with that.
Oh, I had a lot of fun. Yeah, and it, like I said, I mean, first episode is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all about hope this season, I think. And it is, we need that much right now.
I didn't, I thought I knew how much I needed, like, that message of hope when I, like, you know, going in. And then at the end, I was like, oh, I didn't even realize, much.
Yeah.
My heart was full after watching these episodes, because it's just we do need it. We need
so
that.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was great talking to her. All right, let's talk about episode one. What were your first impressions of episode one, season three?
I loved it so much.
I think I was very surprised. It was more emotional than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They definitely ratcheted up the emotion this season.
Yeah. I think it was like a good mix of action and just like heart, like just really heartfelt.
Yeah. I loved that moment where after she sends the suit to the wormhole and it explodes, they let her break down and have a moment, because I was thinking, and I was telling my husband as we were watching it, this is something you would not see in Next Generation. They wouldn't have had this total breakdown. Like, I don't know. And that goes to what we were talking about before, where these characters are a little more realistic and there's a price to be paid. But she's had like a huge emotional, like this saving, she had to save the world, the whole universe, and that's what we've seen the whole season two, and it brought them to this huge moment going to this wormhole, and then she's alone, but they let her experience that, and we got to see her dealing with like just the release.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really glad because it made her seem real.
I love that moment. I also, this was in the trailer too, but her scream of happiness when she realized, like, she succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, the scream. I feel like there's very few times we get to see Michael, like, truly happy.
Yeah, she smiled a lot in this one, though.
Yeah.
I want to say she probably smiled more in this episode than the last two seasons combined.
Honestly, probably. She's had some stuff going on.
Yeah.
Especially because, I was just thinking about everything she just went through. She just, like, she lost Spock. Like, she didn't think she was going to, and she did.
Yeah.
And I love that she was happy, even though, like, she's still distressed about the fact she hasn't found her ship yet.
Mm-hmm. What about that meet cute?
Oh, so good. Misunderstanding to, like, perfect. Love it. Yes. I need fan fiction now, as we were chatting earlier.
These fan fictions are going to write themselves. Like, I can hear the keyboards now.
This is, again, I don't dislike Ash Tyler as a character. I feel like she already has better chemistry with this character than she ever did with Ash.
But, like, seriously, enemies to friends to lovers is my favorite trope. So the fight in the beginning, and it was just perfect. I mean, the whole time they were fighting, I'm like, yes, this is going to be my one true pairing. I can feel it.
Yeah, also, like, choreography for all the fights, like, throughout the episode were so good.
Phenomenal.
Like, it was also, like, you could, one problem I have a lot of modern action things is, like, they confuse you by, like, making, like, just jumping around so you can't follow the action. And I was like, oh, I can, there's a lot happening, but I can see what's happening.
Yeah, they backed up a little bit with the camera.
Now, I think they change how she fights, the style, the technique, because I felt this was more organic. Like, I don't know if you remember season one, episode three, like she's fighting in the mess hall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her fighting style is much different, more like cold. This one is more like with rage,
Maybe she's supposed to be fighting with more emotion, whereas before she's probably using like Vulcan techniques, but like in season one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in that episode too, she just, like, I feel like she was kind of dead inside still.
Mm-hmm. So, like, very mechanical.
Yeah. But this was even different than her fight with Georgiou.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked them together, and they had so many good moments.
I was just gonna say that I really appreciate High or Drunk Burnham, whatever yes. that was. Not that I doubted this, but I was like, oh, Sonequa Martin-Green is really funny. Like,
yes,
I feel like they haven't shown that off.
And I was so glad. I kept thinking during that scene, they really found an actor who can do it all. She can do serious and you know, the pain that we've seen a lot, but she can do comedy, and not everybody can.
The line, like, I have this friend with red hair, you can't give this to her.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this would not go well with Tilly. It kind of makes me hope. I was like, the part of me was kind of like, I hope Tilly somehow gets this later on. Yeah.
Now that you've told me, I need it.
Yeah.
So she was alone, and that the open landscape, that whole scene was beautiful.
I was looking it up. Was they filming in like Iceland, I think?
Yes.
I want to go.
Yes.
It looked so beautiful.
It really did. That was a beautiful scene. And by the water where his ship was crashed.
Oh.
So we finally met Grudge.
So good. Such a good cat. Yeah. He has a thyroid issue.
Yes.
I love that they put it that way instead of just saying he's a Maine Coon. I don't think he's even that big for a Maine Coon, right? Like,
no, they can get so much bigger.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Unless maybe he's not supposed to be an Earth cat. So that's why they think he's a Maine Coon.
Maybe. But really pretty.
Yeah. I was surprised when I realized that Book wasn't human.
Yes, me too. I thought, wow,
he was.
They kept this a secret really well during during promos, because I didn't expect his forehead to light up blue at all.
Yeah.
Blue? Was it blue or red? No, I don't know.
No, I'm trying to remember.
Like orange.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like orange. Yeah, that's what I was... I kind of remembered orange, but I was like, wait, was it blue or red?
I threw out two options that were wrong.
I think we all expect him to be human because we were expecting that that planet was Terralysium, and it isn't.
Yeah, that's true.
And they've done this before, because, I mean, I could kind of tell from promos that he was probably going to be Michael's love interest, and I kind of them... expected them to stick to human love interest, because I feel like the only time they do like alien love interest is when it's like a very established character like Worf.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I like that. Like, her love interest isn't human, because why would it always be like human?
Yeah. So that scene in, I called it the Trading Outpost, and we're thinking the name is the Requiem?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were there with her antiques, and that part kind of broke my heart, because I just thought these are her only objects that attach her to her past, and she's getting rid of them.
That was that. I was kind of like, I was like, keep your badge.
Yeah.
It was funny, because I was thinking, I was like, are they really antiques? Like, have they changed that much? And then I was like, well, yeah, they've changed by the time of next gen.
Like, exactly. Yeah, they already
were. I was like, who can only imagine how much they've changed, like, since then.
Right.
I like the idea of, like, portable transporters. Like, yeah, that would be the thing. They'd be like, we still want to transport. We don't want to have to go stand on a pad.
Yeah, and in Picard, they had the transporters, but they were, like, little metal detectors.
Yeah.
And so it was already kind of smaller or less established than a transporter room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can see how that progressed even more.
I also liked that there was, like, some limitations to it. They're like, it has to charge.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that way you can't just, like, you just don't have Q-like abilities with it. It's just, like, bouncing around.
Also, they were tracking them somehow, which I wasn't clear on how they were doing that.
I wasn't clear. Something to do with transporters. I guess either maybe it's the, like, whatever the equivalent of transporter logs are. With the portable ones.
Yeah. And then so they went from fighting each other to fighting together. And those scenes were very well choreographed.
His like wink where they was like, I guess we're going to fight them now, was so good. I think that was maybe the moment where I was like, oh, I'm shipping this now. Like, I went from very, like, they want me to ship this to, like, oh, I'm on board already. Okay, let's go.
And then that that worm, and when he said, close your eyes. And I love that she trusted him, and she was like, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, close my eyes.
It kind of reminded me of, like, Indiana Jones, where it's like, only the two people are like, don't look at it. Like,
and his connection to living things was really interesting, like when he brought up the plant.
Yeah.
I'm really curious how far that goes. I mean, is he, because he was saying he can feel everything. So is that like Deanna Troi and kind of her empathic abilities? How much does he feel? Did he feel her being alone? And that's why he was like, okay, I'll help you.
I kind of wondered if the reason he was like, oh, I don't want to know your name. I don't, because I was like, oh, if he feels that much, maybe he's like, I don't need extra connections.
Yeah. Self-preservation.
Oh, I also just remembered the line where she said, it's whatever is in the ship is temperature controlled, so it's probably ice cream.
Yes. I love that reference because it was like the queen.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of that character of Poe, because she was talking about his dilithium recrystallizer, and we're like, hey, Poe made that.
Yes. I thought about her.
Like in the last season.
So I thought, I want the story of how she finally trusts somebody, and then, of course, what she was afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Oh, now I have a theory. Maybe it's the recrystallizing that made the burn happen.
Yeah. It was a little Easter egg that they left for us at the end of season 2, and it seems like a thread that they might pull on this time. So Starfleet has been decimated because of this.
That makes sense, but I was like, it makes sense, but also I'm sad.
Yes.
It's been almost 1,000 years. It makes sense that, like, stuff happens.
I mean, to the point, I'm thinking they had this down to the point that they had second contact ships. Like, how could they just be destroyed?
It is funny going from, like, lower decks to this, and you're like, you're like, oh, wow. It's real different. Like,
it is totally different tone.
I think we're gonna, like, my one of my theories for the season is, like, we're gonna watch, like, Starfleet and the Federation be rebuilt.
Yes, hope. Exactly.
I have the feeling that maybe at the end of the season there's going to be some kind of rebuilding of the Federation of Starfleet, but maybe just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this season is about small stories of people. Mm-hmm. More than a big mission or changing the universe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I really liked how she was excited at the new technology on his ship. Mm-hmm. I was really excited because the first time we see it is the bed, and the first time she sees it is on Book's ship. I was just really grateful when I saw that, and when I saw her reaction, that they went so far in the future that we can enjoy this new technology without worrying about how does it fit in canon along with the other shows that we already had, because mm-hmm. that was something that kept coming up with Enterprise and Discovery was, no, they don't have this later. Why does the ship look more modern? It shouldn't look this good and all this. And all of that is off the table. They can have whatever they want. They can be as creative as they want to with, you know, as far as their imagination, the sky's the limit on the technology that they have now.
Yeah. I also thought it was cute that, like, watching, like, as, like, the audience got to be Michael.
Yeah.
Which is, like, really fun.
Lewis, when do you think we're going to see Discovery? Do you think we're going to see it in season 2? Or in episode 2? Or do you think it's going to be a little longer?
Maybe next episode. I think it will be great to see what happens to them. Mm-hmm. But also, I think we are going to see more about the crew, like how they are reacting to this new reality for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we're going to see it next episode, but I feel like it's either going to be the very beginning of the episode or the very end of the episode.
I hope they take this opportunity to tell us more about the other crew members that we only meet, like, by name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like our new characters, like Gray.
Adira.
That called the ship a museum?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was very funny.
That they are from the future. that they did not come with them. That they're like, the ship is old.
So when do you think they're all going to get their new looks, the dark black, and lose their Starfleet uniforms?
I wonder if they'll like switch between them.
Yeah, because he was like, do yourself a favor, take the uniform off.
Yeah. My theory is that like it's going to take a second for Discovery to show up, and that's when like Michael's hair will change.
Yeah, because in the promo, and I don't know if this is what's actually going to be like, but she does seem to be waiting for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she's waiting like a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if that's supposed to be her hair growing out.
Yeah, if that's her hair growing out, that's a while.
Yeah, that's like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we did see in like, I remember in like Voyager, they said they can grow people's hair fast, which is why Seven isn't bald for like a season.
Oh, really? They have an answer for that?
Yeah. They say something, I don't remember what they call it, but they say something like, oh, we can use like molecule regrowth something and have your hair. And then Seven has blonde hair in the next episode.
Oh, wow. I had forgot all about that. Interesting. Yeah. I wonder if when they're on the ship, they're going to wear their uniforms. And then if they're out on a mission, they're going to wear the black coats.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Were there like any returning aliens that you were really excited to see?
Oh, well, okay. I had a question. Was this the first time that we've seen an Orion in person? Like, not a cartoon?
No, they were definitely in the original series.
Okay.
Enterprise 2.
Oh, okay.
There is an episode of Enterprise on season 2, Borderlands.
Oh, okay.
There you will see a couple of Orions.
Okay.
What was the dynamic? Because Michael seemed surprised they were working with the Andorians.
Like that joke that Tendi has, like, it's like, some of us have been pirates for like 5 years.
Right.
The Orions are pirates, and they have the Orion Syndicate. Like, it's like a big space mafia. Mm-hmm. And they are, and by Deep Space Nine, they are quite powerful. So that's why she was surprised of seeing working with the Andorians.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Anytime I see one of the aliens that like what Morn is, my mind goes Morn, and I go, what are they called?
Like, I only remember by Morn. I don't remember like, the race.
Because I was thinking, even obviously Romulans would be different because of like the events in like Picard, but like Romulans didn't use dilithium to travel by warp. They used like little mini black holes. Which apparently was the less dangerous of the two options, which is a big surprise. Can Romulans still travel by space with their little mini black holes?
All right. Final thoughts.
That last scene was amazing, and I cried. Full on cried. I also feel that actor for being like only in that beginning and that end scene. That actor was like really good at playing the emotion of like, oh my god, this thing I believe in is real. And just his little, like, can you make me a commissioned officer? I was just like,
yeah.
He touched my little heart so much.
He did. He did a really good job portraying that, too. Because, like, yeah, exactly. He put a lot in a very short part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lewis?
When I saw the first scene with that man, I was, a little surprised. And I didn't understand why they choose that scene, because we were waiting Michael flying or something like that, and they choose that. But when that finished, I understood that they were preparing for breaking our hearts. Because sometimes directors like doing that, like they set up something that you don't understand and then they break your heart.
It's true. I figured, okay, we waited months, we can wait a little longer.
Yeah. I'm like, I have to know what happened. The like one thing in the episode, and I wouldn't change a thing about the episode, but I was like, can we just have the second part now? Because I want to see Discovery.
Yes. I miss them so much.
It's funny though, because I was remembering, I was like, also, the first two episodes of this show called Star Trek Discovery also did not have Discovery in it.
Yes. It was very paralleled with the first season. Yeah, the show takes its time with its storytelling.
I think when we saw the premiere of season 2 and Pike did the roll call on the bridge, it was a way of saying, well, forget about season one. We are going to do something different. Mm-hmm. And now when Michael sent the time suit back and she said to the computer, please self-destruct, something like that. Mm-hmm. I have the feeling that they are saying, well, forget about season one and two. We are going to do something different now. Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's true. I was so upset when she said self-destruct. I was like, no, this is your only computer. This is your only travel. Do not do this. She did.
I know. Still, part of me is like, go get Pike. Like, save him from his fate, please.
He's so brave, though. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I can't wait to see the next episode.
Same.
I'm glad we're doing it like this, though, because it really does spread out the excitement instead of blowing this all in a week. We have weeks mm-hmm. to enjoy this.
I want it now, but also I know it's better for like discussion to have a week-to-week show.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk to you guys after we see episode two.
I'm so excited that the season's like officially underway now.
Yes.
Me too.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
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 Thank you all for joining us for this week's episode of Discotech Podcast.